This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, June 1st. Happy June. And thanks to John Munson, who was filling in for me last week when I was on a mostly staycation. And thanks as well to my producers who work extra hard when I am away. Happy to be joined during the State Capitol Report by Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson, who will bring us up to date on the latest with the state budget. And coming up after 7:30, we will welcome in the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, Republican State Representative John Nygren, will be with us after 7:30. And we will welcome your questions and your reactions to the latest on the state budget at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. He joins us in the studio. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
Well, while I was away last week, you were busy, busy, busy. Things are wrapping up with the state budget at the state capitol.
It's that time of year. Everything, all the big issues kind of get saved to the end of the joint finance process. And this year, they've kind of pushed that end off a little bit. It was looking like they might wrap up last week.
So one more week on the state budget, we think?
I don't know. I mean, I would think they'd be done this week, but they're having some issues getting a deal together on a few issues, and like transportation, prevailing wage, and the Bucks Arena specifically, probably more transportation. So I wouldn't want to promise they'd be done this week.
All right. Well, we'll touch more on that coming up at the end of our segment with you, Sean. But some of the big news, the biggest developments of the past week, the Joint Finance Committee did take up the University of Wisconsin budget on Friday and cut the cut.
They cut the cut. Yeah. Remember, Governor Walker's budget cut it by $300 million, but there's still a substantial cut in the budget that passed the Finance Committee. They would cut the University of Wisconsin by $250 million. You can look historically over the past, a little more than a decade. That is one of the largest cuts to the UW in recent history. I guess in dollar terms, it would be one of the largest cuts, period, to the UW. And that's comparing it to those budgets that occurred after recessions when they were, the state was in a time of economic decline. This one comes at a time of economic growth. And so it's a substantial number, but $50 million lower than what the governor proposed.
And though the surprise to me was that they removed tenure from state statutes.
Very big step, yeah. I mean, they broke from the governor in terms of creating this new UW system authority, where the UW would have had broad authority over, pretty much every aspect of its own governance, would have made its own decisions on its budget. And that idea was, lawmakers hinted long ago that that was going to be gone, but they included some elements of it. Some of the smaller ones, like they exempted the UW from the state printing law and document distribution law, gives the UW more power to handle its own building projects. But those are kind of small in comparison to the seismic change on tenure, where they would take tenure protections out of state law. And so under this budget, tenure would be gone.
But the UW Board of Regents doesn't have to follow that guideline, or does it?
Well, I mean, it would no longer be in state law. What the UW Board of Regents could do, and what they've indicated that they will do, is they will write their own board policy to enshrine tenure at the University of Wisconsin. Would not be state law. It would be less than what they have now. But the board would, and looks like they will, include tenure in university policy. I don't know that they'll do it this week, but the board has a regularly scheduled meeting this Thursday and Friday in Milwaukee. The other big change, though, in this motion that Republicans passed in the Finance Committee on Friday night is there is a provision in there that regardless of what you do with tenure and regardless of what the board does with tenure, there is a provision in there that gives a chancellor's broad authority, certainly more authority than they have right now, to lay off faculty, if they deem it necessary due to budgetary decisions. So that's something that's much harder for them to do right now. This would make it much easier, and that is kind of independent of what the board decides to do with tenure. That's something they're adding to state law, is giving chancellors this power.
So what do you think of this change in tenure, faculty tenure removed from state statutes by the Joint Finance Committee last week, as it also reduced the cut to the UW system to a still substantial $250 million. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, about the very latest with the state budget. Sean Johnson and I are University of Wisconsin Extension employees and are affected by the cuts to the University of Wisconsin system. So, Sean, so that's it for the UW system budget then? We will face a $250 million cut, and there will be less shared governance, or scaled back shared governance, mm-hmm. more authority for chancellors to fire faculty, and tenure is deleted from state statutes.
Yeah, you mentioned shared governance, so faculty and students would have kind of a less of a say in running the institution. Also, it does freeze tuition for 2 more years, which is what the governor had proposed, but lawmakers got rid of his plan that would have created an inflation-based tuition cap for future budgets, so that's gone. So as it stands right now, there's no cap on tuition of any kind in the next 2 year budget. But I mean, all it takes is another governor to propose, hey, let's have another cap. That's very much we'll see in a couple years where things stand.
So do we know what the university thinks of this? The university system?
Words of praise definitely from UW system president Ray Cross. And UW-Madison Chancellor Rebecca Blank, and I think Chancellor Blank's comments are pretty significant, because Chancellor Blank and President Cross sometimes sounded like they had kind of a good cop, bad cop relationship going when it came to this budget. He was very measured in his comments about the budget after the governor introduced it, talked about the opportunities there for the university system. Chancellor Blank was much more forceful in how painful this would be for the UW, and really kind of going after the governor and the legislature for the cuts and what it would mean for her campus. So she issued a statement, quote, the Joint Committee on Finance was presented with a very difficult budget. We appreciate the members' willingness to work with us to make the proposed cuts less challenging for the university. So no harsh words, really, in the statements from either of the big UW leaders there.
A call from Nicole in Milwaukee. Hi, Nicole.
Hi. I was calling. I think that there's a misconception out there about, what the purpose of tenure was. I think that most people in their own heads think that once a professor gets tenure, all of a sudden they don't work anymore, or it's a free ride for them to not have to do work anymore. Tenure was imposed so that there's a lot of funding that comes into universities from different groups which may have special interests. And so a university, because they're getting their funding, may, want to pressure a professor to, have their research go one way versus the other.
And Nicole, thank you. We have a newscast coming up, so I'm glad you called, because Sean, maybe we should talk a little bit about why tenure is there and why the Joint Finance Committee wants to get rid of it.
Well, I would encourage you to talk with a professor or somebody active in one of those organizations to talk about tenure and the principles behind it. But I think Nicole alluded to it. The idea is that you have freedom to explore whatever idea, wherever your research takes you or your teaching takes you.
You won't be fired for right. political reasons.
Right. I mean, there's that big plaque on Bascom Hill here that kind of gets at the sifting and winnowing, and that's I think people who value tenure say that's kind of integral to that. So expect to hear more of that discussion this week. There's a, you know, I know there's a petition being circulated by some UW professors urging the regents to say, you know, really take a strong stand here, especially on that provision that lets chancellors, gives them more power to fire people.
Yeah, and in just 30 seconds, Sean, mm-hmm. Joint Finance thinks that tenure is a big reason for expense at the UW system?
They did not get into, Republicans didn't say in a big way, we're going after tenure, we're getting rid of tenure because of this. Their big message was, we're freeing the UW's hands to do what they want to do.
Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. We will talk with him more about other big developments in the state budget from last week and what's coming up this week as the state capitol report continues after this news. This is our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking in this first half of the State Capitol Report with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, who joins us usually every week at this time with the very latest from the State Capitol, talking about the state budget, which is wrapping up at the State Capitol. Joint Finance Committee taking action on a number of important items last week. Still some important items to go. Sean, though, wrapping up the UW system, which Joint Finance took up on Friday, what's next with this?
Yeah, well, I mean, like anything that passes the Joint Finance Committee, it needs to take the next step, and the legislature has to pass the assembly. The Senate has to get the governor's signature. So it's not exactly done, but this is kind of the biggest hurdle in many cases for pieces of the budget. It was, and so this is probably pretty close to what you're going to see. In the UW's case, stuff like tenure also has gets kind of punted off to the Board of Regents, which meets this Thursday and Friday, and so they'll have a say there.
Some heated words exchanged over that.
As far as budget arguments go, this one got kind of heated Friday night. Gordon Hintz, a Democrat from Oshkosh, really kind of lit into Republicans on the UW budget. Didn't pull his punches. Here's a little clip from Gordon Hintz.
I mean, don't tell me that we're all committed to the UW system or not to say bad things. You're cutting $250 million because you don't want to take the Medicaid money. That decision stinks, and it sends a message, and that stinks. So we're not all committed to the UW system because you're crushing it, because you're gutting $250 million. I don't have to question your intent because I see it here, and your intent stinks.
Gordon Hintz said you should just put your heads down and say nothing and vote for this thing because it's not something to be proud of. That drew a rebuke from John Nygren, committee co-chair, Republican from Marinette, he said that Hintz was grandstanding and that Republicans made tough choices to make the budget better.
At the end of the day, we do believe that when giving more flexibilities to the system, these decisions should be in their hands, not in ours. Not a legislator that's micromanaging every little decision that they make. They're going to have the ability to make those decisions themselves. I would suggest having it in state statutes ties their hands. Now the people that we empower to run our system, the people that we empower to run our individual campuses, are going to have the ability to make those decisions themselves.
And they can make the decisions themselves, with the UW Board of Regents meeting this week?
Yes, and I remember also, we haven't mentioned it, the Board of Regents, the regents themselves are appointed to 6-year terms by the governor. So pretty soon you're going to have all the regents will be appointees of Governor Scott Walker. And they're going to have obviously different views of maybe how to run a university than regents appointed by Governor Jim Doyle.
And by the way, State Representative John Nygren, co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, will be our guest in just a few minutes, and we'll talk more with him. So, Sean, let's move along on some of the other actions that Joint Finance took last week. The DNR budget, maybe just some the bullet points.
Yeah, I think the biggest here is that they did decide to fund the stewardship program, and they did not go along with Governor Walker's plan to effectively freeze new land stewardship program purchases for 13 years. So stewardship will be there, could have up to $33 million a year in stewardship purchases. So that was something where a lot of environmental groups were happy with the way things turned out. I mean, it's definitely a better scenario for the stewardship program than what the governor proposed.
And again, the Joint Finance Committee kind of bucking what the governor wanted on that
On a number of issues this year, and this is definitely one of them where they bucked the governor.
They did not, though, on the proposed cuts to DNR positions.
Right, they did not. The governor proposed cutting 29 DNR scientist and educator positions. And they went along with them completely. And so they also left open the possibility that this science bureau within DNR could be dissolved and you could have scientists working in different agencies instead of more centralized.
Well, here's they took up one of the items last week was on long-term care, the long-term care budget. What did they do to senior care and IRIS?
Yeah, it was family care and IRIS. I mean, senior care, they voted on that. That is basically going to remain the same. No changes to senior care. And so what advocates who use and like family care and IRIS were asking the legislature to do is basically do the same thing you did with senior care. Leave it alone. We like it. Don't make any changes. This is the program that we want to see continue. And so if that was the outcome that that you were hoping for in finance last week, we were disappointed because they made a number of changes. Although, I mean, Republicans were saying these will make the program better in the long term. They're going to have Governor Walker's Department of Health Services submit a waiver to the federal government for permission to make changes to these programs. Among them, they want to merge these long-term care programs, family care and IRIS, with, you know, where people maybe help people to get baths, medication, transportation, learn life skills. Want to merge those with acute care, so doctor and hospital visits, and bring them all under one umbrella. They want to expand family care statewide, but they would also agree with the governor's proposal to let for-profit insurance companies come in to help run the system. And I think that's a pretty significant change. I mean, Republicans said this is something that's designed to keep this program, these programs, sustainable in the long term. But advocates say if you bring a for-profit insurance company in, they're going to have to be looking out for their profits, and they're going to have to cut costs somewhere, and they're not going to agree with some of the things that we're doing now, for example, in the program IRIS. Now, the legislature said in what they passed last week, they said, look, we want whatever you develop next to look like IRIS, but you know, that's a long ways down the road.
Let's talk about what's coming up this coming week. The Joint Finance Committee will take up the issue of a new arena for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Again, I would say probably. This is something that was reported on by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, kind of the details of the new deal, and it's kind of hard to explain in just a few words. It's a lot more complicated than what the governor proposed. It involves, for example, I mean, Milwaukee County got into the mix in this deal in a big way, and the Journal Sentinel has said that was really at the direction of County Executive Chris Abele. And you know, one of the examples of the way they'd fund this thing is they would take Milwaukee County's debt, $80 million, uncollected debt, and they would turn that over to the state as kind of an asset and say, look, you collect this money and use that money as part of the way that you fund this arena. So a lot of little moving parts there as part of the Bucks deal, although the state's commitment to the Bucks deal would actually go down under this.
And the transportation budget, that's the one, it was delayed a couple of weeks ago because there wasn't agreement as to what to do, whether to borrow it all or to raise some fees or something else.
I mean, broadly speaking, the governor wants to borrow $1.3 billion to fund transportation. If he gets his way, you're going to have about 23 cents of every transportation dollar going to pay off debt. So a substantial increase in borrowing for roads. Republicans say they don't like that. They're even willing to pass some registration fees potentially to help reduce that borrowing. The governor says he won't sign those registration fees, kind of leaving the specter out there that he would veto them. And so it sounds like they're kind of at a standoff as to what to do. And if you don't have the borrowing and if you don't have the fees, you have to cut road projects. And then that becomes a tricky situation if you're gathering votes of whose road projects do you cut.
We have, we're getting State Representative John Nygren on the line, and he'll be with us momentarily, Sean. But what about prevailing wage? That is that going to be resolved this week?
I don't know. And this is something that's really boiling over here. You had conservative media for quite a while that they have made this their cause ever since the passage of right to work. They've moved on to the next issue. I mean, and when I say conservative media, it's gone nationally. You have the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal weighing in on this, saying it's time to repeal Wisconsin's prevailing wage law, which sets a base wage for government construction projects. A committee, an assembly committee, kind of unexpectedly met last week, held a hearing on repeal of prevailing wage, passed it on a 5-4 vote. Governor Walker said that, you know, when he was asked, would you prefer reforming prevailing wage or getting rid of it? He said that getting rid of it would be preferable. So a lot of things happening here, but Assembly Speaker Robin Voss kind of sparring with his own rank and file members here, saying that that hearing, that public hearing on that bill didn't help any, and that he still wants to have some kind of a prevailing wage reform.
I hope that the hearing does not derail our efforts to get real reforms, which is my frustration. So we are trying to negotiate to get the best possible prevailing wage deal put together, and having people who are doing things outside that process without really talking to anybody in the state Senate or talking to anybody who's actually involved in getting something to the governor's desk. You know, people can make their own choices.
Jock said that if it was put on the floor of the bill, it would pass. Do you think he's miscounting?
Well, the interesting thing about Andre Jock is he also believed he would be majority leader, and he didn't come even close. So I don't think I trust Andre Jock's ability to count the votes.
Okay,
thanks.
Thank you.
Kind of subtle there at the end, but you don't often hear an assembly speaker call out one of his own rank and file members in that way. Say, don't necessarily think Andre Jacques can count the votes, referring to the assembly lawmaker who held the hearing on prevailing wage last week. So that is a really, really messy internal dispute among Republicans over whether to just make some changes to prevailing wage or completely get rid of it. And that may be tied to the budget.
And finally, very briefly, there is a hearing tomorrow on the proposal, the bill that would ban abortions after 20 weeks.
Yes. Another huge issue and being scheduled kind of in the middle of budget debate here. This would not include exceptions for rape or incest. So expect a very emotional public hearing on this tomorrow, a joint public hearing in the Assembly and Senate committees.
All right. And one final note, a change in teacher requirements.
Yeah. This is something that passed the Finance Committee a couple weeks ago. They changed the governor had an alternative teacher licensure system in his budget that if you have work experience in a field, you'd be able to teach in that subject. They, Republican lawmakers, got rid of that and created their own alternative licensure system. And one of the things that's in there says that if you teach in a non-core academic subjects, you could teach there without a bachelor's degree. And the Legislative Council, which is the legislature's nonpartisan attorneys, based on their preliminary research, Wisconsin would be the only state where you could teach a K-12 class or a class from grade 6 through 12 without a bachelor's degree.
The only state in the nation.
Right.
All right, Sean, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, bringing us up to date on the happenings at the state capitol.